Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Soon after Pearl Harbor was bombed in December 1941, President Franklin D. Roosevelt ordered the arrest of, quote, potentially dangerous enemy aliens, close quote. Many of us are familiar with the internment camps where more than 120,000 Japanese immigrants and Japanese Americans were held. Less well known is that German and Italian foreign nationals were also monitored and detained, as well as some foreign-born U.S. citizens. Some were forced to relocate to new communities and subject to a curfew. Others were held at internment camps, including one at Fort Meade in Anne Arundel County. Joining me to discuss the camp at Fort Meade, which first held foreign nationals and later prisoners of war, is Kevin Leonard, who writes the History Matters column in the Laurel Leader newspaper. Welcome to On the Record.
Good morning.
Unlike the internment of the Japanese, which was a blanket order to detain an entire nationality of people, the internment of German and Italian people was on a much, much smaller scale. How did the U.S. government decide whom to intern?
Well, they had a process that was based on the Alien Registration Act of 1940, and it basically was all-encompassing. I think there was more of an emphasis on the Japanese Americans than there were on the German Americans or the Italian Americans, is what it kind of boiled down to. Most of the Japanese American internees were on the West Coast, as opposed to the German American, Italian Americans on the East Coast.
But did it take any action having or any violation on the part
it
of the foreign national?
It could be just about anything. There's actually one story that I uncovered about a German citizen who had moved to, he was a World War I Army veteran. He had moved to the U.S., moved to Boston, married, had a family. He was an artist by trade. And when the Great Depression came, he lost his job. And then when the Nazis came into power, he lost all of his assets in Germany, so he was basically penniless. And his wife wanted to divorce him, but so she enlisted the help of her brother, who was an army officer, and she reported him through her brother as being a Nazi sympathizer. And that's all it took. And then he was arrested and he was interned. He spent some time in a number of different camps, including Fort Meade. And being an artist, he used to draw sketches and paintings and use them as currency. I interviewed his grandson, who was a lot of help for me, and he let me reproduce some of these drawings. But after the war, his grandson has all his papers, and after the war, the U.S. Army explicitly stated that he was never, in fact, a Nazi. But they used the system against him, just like that.
Did you talk to anybody else with personal experiences with it, with this internment?
I did. I was contacted by a lady in West Laurel who still lives there. Her husband was from the Ukraine, and when he was 15 years old, his family was captured by the Nazis. He never saw his family again, and he was sent to work in the Black Forest, ended up at a farm working for the farmer's wife. The farmer
himself. The Black Forest in Germany.
Correct. The farmer himself was in the German army, so he never saw him, never met him. And they ended up here at Fort Meade. He had a career with NSA. They lived in Laurel. Their kids were born here. And then at some point, probably, I want to say in the 80s or maybe the 90s, he and his wife was from France originally. They took a trip to Europe to go to France, and while they were there, he told his wife he wanted to go try to find the farmhouse. So they did. And when they got there, they met the farmer for the first time. But he told them that, unfortunately, his wife had passed away. But he recognized his name because he said, the farmer did, because he said his wife had mentioned him many times to him over the years. So they were trading stories about the war. And the farmer told them that he himself had ended up as a POW for a while at Fort Meade.
Small world.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the war, several hundred foreign nationals were held at Fort Meade. What were the conditions like?
It was very stark. When the camp was first set up for internees, it looked like a POW camp with two sets of barbed wire and guard towers. But they all slept in four-man tents. The camp itself was segregated for the different nationalities. The German Americans, and it was predominantly German American and Italian American. There were a handful of Japanese Americans, but not many at all. It was supposed to be a way station on the way to other permanent camps, but some people ended up being there for quite a while.
Were families kept together?
Sometimes. Sometimes they were split up, sometimes they were not. And what happened was once they were determined, once they were sent wherever, not only were requests denied, if a family was split up, the request was always denied to reunite them in a camp. And it was actually, I have some letters that for married couples that were split up, and they were denied permission to even communicate with their husbands. The letters, the husbands were at Fort Meade, the women were at another camp, and they wrote to the Army, and the Army denied them permission to even communicate that way.
And did detaining these people actually interrupt any plans of violence against Americans?
That's a good question. I don't believe so. More of the violence happened within the camp. There was an episode at Fort Meade where 6 weeks before the war started, for us, an American cruiser captured a German freighter that was flying under an American flag, trying to disguise itself. And they boarded the ship. They took them prisoner, which was allowed since they were flying under American flag. And the Nazi crew members were hardcore Nazis. They ended up eventually at Fort Meade living with these German-American internees. These were civilian Americans. And they there was a lot of violence. They thought that all the German-Americans were traitors. They mutinied against their own captain. They claimed that he didn't do enough to keep them their ship from getting boarded. They installed a 26-year-old cook as their new leader. He thought he was a little Hitler himself. And they used to beat up. There was lots of violence against the internees. They eventually had enough when they discovered that the Nazi crew members were trying to tunnel out of Fort Meade. So they sent them away.
They were trying to tunnel out?
Yep.
They were trying to escape?
They had built a tunnel, yep.
This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Kevin Leonard, who writes the History Matters column for the Laura Leader. He'll be speaking at the Howard County Historical Society Museum in Ellicott City next Friday about the World War II internment and POW camps at Fort Meade. So, a few years later in the war, the camp at Fort Meade was repurposed to make room for prisoners of war. Where did the internees go?
The internees were sent to other camps. They were segregated from POWs. There was basically just a reshuffling at that point. There were not nearly as many internees as POWs. The Army hadn't, the military didn't plan on having POWs in the continental U.S. That was something they weren't prepared for. They were prepared for the internees. They had been working on that for about a year before we even entered the war. But the military, once they started capturing POWs in both Europe and Asia, the feeling was they didn't want them to be held in the theater of war. So they decided they wanted to bring them back to the continental U.S., and the logical thing to do was to convert these internment camps and CCC camps that were all over the country still.
Civilian Conservation Corps.
Correct. So they already had these camps, and they just had to beef up security, which is what they did. But the internees were segregated in different camps from the POWs.
And how many prisoners of war were held at Fort Meade?
At one time, I believe there was about 350. I think that was the highest number. There were almost 500,000 POWs in the continental U.S. across the country during World War II. A lot of people don't realize that.
How was it determined where in the U.S. the POWs would be held?
I'm not sure. The only thing I do know is that once they started admitting these POWs into the camps and they realized that the German army, either basically they were soldiers that had been drafted, were doing their duty, and they really didn't have any interest in getting back into the war versus the hardcore fanatics, which was generally the Navy. The German Navy had a real reputation as being hardcore. Then they started to segregate the German POW population that way. They didn't want them mixed together, so they would put the hardcore POWs in separate camps. That's where the crew that tried to tunnel out of Fort Meade ended up. one of those isolated camps.
And they kept the German prisoners of war separate from the Italian prisoners of war.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There was no love lost between them. As that's an interesting aspect. So when the when Italy surrendered and then they joined the Allies, they were only too happy to take up arms against Germany.
So how did the POWs spend their time while they were interned?
According to the Geneva Convention, you can't make you can't require them to work, but opportunities were afforded to them to work around the area, and they pretty much all of them took it up because they wanted to get out of the camp. They were bored. They worked all over the area. German POWs actually helped build Brighton Dam.
Howard County?
Yes, in Howard County. There was a place on off of Route 40 on St. John's Lane called Hardman's Tourist Camp, I think it was. And that was a point where they would drive the POWs there, and then farmers from the region would pick them up for the day, and they would go work the farms. That was very common. Some of them became office workers in Baltimore City.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
How were they kept secure?
Well, they did have security with them, but that got less and less as time went on because it was clear that they weren't going to go anywhere. They enjoyed getting out of the camp. They enjoyed making money, but it wasn't money. It was script that they could only use in the camp. Employers paid the prevailing wage to the state for the laborers.
And so then only a small part of that was actually turned over to...
Correct. So the state actually made a profit on the POWs during the war. And as a matter of fact, in 1945, there was a 35% increase in Maryland's tomato crop due expressly because of the POWs.
They were tending
the crop. Because they did a lot of agricultural work, yes.
After Italy surrendered in 1943, what happened to the Italian prisoners of war?
They were actually merged into, at Fort Meade anyway, they were merged into the Army. They were made into three service units of their own. They were afforded, obviously, a lot more freedom now. Baltimore's Little Italy community adopted them. They were all dances and dinners with Little Italy, which everybody seemed to enjoy. They very much wanted to fight against the Germans, even though they were former allies themselves, former Axis partners.
And Italy had declared war on Germany after.
Correct. Correct. Yes.
And so did any of the POWs stay in the U.S.?
No. A lot of them wanted to, but there was a firm rule. All were denied. They were all sent back to their originating country. There were no exceptions to that, except the Italians, of course, because they were part of the U.S. Army now.
How did you learn about this chapter in World War II history?
Up until recently, there was a museum on the grounds of Fort Meade, and they also had an archives there. And I went to visit that, and a lot of my stories from Fort Meade come from that. I got to know very well the Barbara Taylor, who ran both facilities. She just recently retired, and so the Army decided, well, we're not going to replace her. We're just going to shut everything down. So they just distributed all the artifacts across the country to different Army facilities and museums. So, but it was a tremendous facility, especially the archives, and that's where I've gotten a lot of this material.
The stories of especially U.S. citizens being interred, does that have any special resonance with your readers today?
A lot of people that contacted me after these stories ran were just surprised that all of this took place in their own backyard. It's a part of history. I think an awful lot of people remember that there were internees and internment camps, but I don't think people understood the scope to it in World War II. The other really kind of unfortunate is that in 1988, President Reagan granted reparations to Japanese-American internees, but there has never been any reparation offered to any German-American or Italian-American internees. This never happened.
And they lost a lot, some
absolutely,
of them.
Absolutely. Careers were lost, families were lost, dignity was lost, everything was lost. But the emphasis has always been on the Japanese-American internees. There were more of them, but there were an awful lot German-American and Italian-Americans also.
Thank you so much for sharing it with us. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Kevin Leonard writes the History Matters column for the Laurel Leader. Next Friday, a week from today, he'll be speaking from noon to 1 about Fort Meade's World War II internment and POW camps. The event is at the Howard County Historical Society Museum in Ellicott City. We'll link to ticket information at the On the Record page at WIPR.org and also to some of Leonard's columns about the prisoners at Fort Meade. I'm Sheila Cass. Quick break now. When we come back, a Stoop story.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.